We join together in our worship of Almighty God. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. We sing praise to God from Psalm number 135 and stanzas 1 to 4 of the psalm. Psalm 135, stanzas 1 to 4. We're using the tune Clement. We find the words on page 333 in our Psalters. And in this psalm, the psalmist exhorts God's people to come together to worship and also to praise him as part of their worship. The psalm begins, O praise the Lord, the Lord's name praise, you servants of the Lord him praise, who in the Lord's house there do stand within the courts of our God's house. The psalmist encourages us to understand that there are many good reasons for praising God. In stanza 2, God is good. In stanza 3, he is great above all gods. And in stanza 4, we see that he is in control of nature. In stanza 5, for the sake of his people, God struck down Egypt's firstborn. He loves his people and will defend them. This God is still the same God, so that we also do well to praise him for his goodness in all of these ways. Psalm 135, stanzas 1 to 4, we stand to sing praise, as many as are able, and then we remain standing at the close of our praise for prayer. Let us praise God. Read God's word, and we read from Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26. And we're reading from verse 15 of the chapter. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 15. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and 1.5 cubits shall be the width of each board. 2 tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the far side of the tabernacle westward, you shall make 6 boards, and you shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for both of them, they shall be for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle, for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. You shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern which you were shown on the mountain. Amen. We close our reading at verse 30 of Exodus chapter 26, knowing that this is God's holy word. We turn in God's word to that short passage we read earlier from Exodus chapter 26 and verses 15 to 30. And if I could just begin, first of all, by addressing the children. Children, I would like you to imagine being in a situation where you're in a strange place without your mummy or your daddy, and you're traveling somewhere. You know where you have to go, but you can't find the way to your destination. And you stop someone at the side of the road to ask for help, to ask if they can give you directions. And they give you a list of steps to take. They say, go for 1 mile, turn right, then take the next turn on your left, then take the next third left, then the next second right, and then you will reach your destination. And so you leave this person, you start walking along the road, and you try to remember all these directions, but after 2 minutes you feel confused. You've forgotten what the directions were, when to turn left, when to turn right. Directions can sound simple, but it's easy to get lost or to feel unsure about yourself after you receive them. Now, if the person you had spoken to for directions had instead handed you a detailed map with landmarks and routes and a clear path and a little picture of the place you wanted to arrive at, the way to your destination would have become much easier, because at a glance, looking at the map, you can see the full picture, and it's so much easier to follow a map than to remember detailed instructions. And in a similar sort of way, in the Bible, God often uses visible objects, and the tabernacle is a visible object. Although you can't see it, you can at least imagine it. The tabernacle helps God's people in every age to see God's purpose for their lives. Just as a map gives us a visible guide, God gave the Israelites the tabernacle, a structure they could see and they could touch and they could understand. The tabernacle was like a picture for them of God's presence with them and his purposes for them. It's also a picture for us to help us see what it means to belong to God. Each part of the tabernacle's design, just like each part of a map, shows us something unique about God's people and how they are to reach their destination of heaven. So boys and girls, if you can keep the part of the tabernacle in your mind that we're looking at today, that is your map to help you see the destiny God is calling you to. Now, so far in our study of the tabernacle's furnishings and curtains, for the most part, we have seen how they point to particular characteristics of God, or how they have foreshadowed Christ. But the tabernacle isn't just about God, and isn't just about Christ, in isolation from his people. It foreshadows Christ in relation to his people. And especially in this passage that we're looking at today, the boards, or more precisely, the framework and the fittings of the tabernacle, our focus shifts primarily to God's people. And children, you can see from the various pictures something of what this framework of the tabernacle would have looked like on pages 6 and 7 of the booklet. And hopefully that will help you understand what I'm going to be saying about what this teaches us. There are 4 aspects of this framework of the tabernacle that we're going to consider this morning, and which teach us about how believers are to live out their faith in God and trust in Christ. The first thing we can say about this framework of the tabernacle is that it speaks to us of the importance of being together. It speaks to us of the importance of being together. In verse 15, Moses is given the instruction, "And for the tabernacle you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright." Verse 8 says, "And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side." And then verse 20 says, "And for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards." Then verse 22 tells us, "For the far side of the tabernacle, westward, you shall make 6 boards." The west side of the tabernacle was the end of the tabernacle. At the other end of the tabernacle was the entrance, and it was boarded. It wasn't boarded. It was designed with a specific arrangement of fabric and curtains. Altogether, 48 boards were used in constructing the framework of the tabernacle. Each board was around 15 feet high and 2.25 feet wide. And the boards were arranged vertically, and they were closely aligned with one another. Though not necessarily pressed tightly against one another, in a way that would eliminate any gaps entirely. Verse 17 tells us, "Two tenons shall be in each board for binding one to another. Thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle." Just as the boards of the tabernacle were joined to one another, were joined together to create a firm and unified structure, Christians will be much stronger. They will be much more stable. They will be more resistant to the power of the world when they are in regular fellowship with one another, when they spend time together. So the boards, in a sense, represent God's individual children, God's people. And we can learn from how they were put together lessons about how we are to live our lives to the glory of God. God's people are more resistant to the power of the world when they are together. Think of it this way. Imagine holding a single stick in your hands. That single stick is thin, it's fragile, and with a small amount of pressure, you can snap it, you can break it. It's not difficult to do. But now imagine gathering 10 or 20 of those same sticks and tying them tightly together in a bundle. Now when you try to break the bundle of sticks with your two hands, it becomes much harder, almost impossible to snap. Individually, each stick is weak, but when they are bound together, their combined strength makes them much harder to break. And the boards in the tabernacle were joined together to form a strong, sturdy framework, a structure that could withstand the challenges of the wilderness and also create a place for God's presence. In the same way, God's people are designed to find strength in unity. When we are alone, we are vulnerable, but when we are united, we are much stronger. We can encourage each other, we can stand firm together and become a dwelling place of God. The professing Christian who prefers to be alone is much more vulnerable and will become weaker. One of the reasons God instituted his church was so that his people could be together, because there is strength in togetherness. No one should be looking for an excuse not to come to the worship service regularly or not to be involved in other church events. All the boards of the tabernacle needed to be together and were joined together for the proper functioning of the tabernacle. In the same way, believers need to be together physically in each other's presence and spiritually united to one another for their individual stability and growth, and for the growth and stability of the church. If a few of the boards of the tabernacle had gone missing, that would have put a lot of pressure on the remaining boards to fulfill their task of being a firm structure for the tabernacle. And the more people are missing from worship or the prayer meeting or the midweek meeting, the more pressure is put on those who are present, and the more discouraged those who are present feel. So here's one lesson from the boards of the tabernacle, especially if you're someone who's able but you consider it not important for you. Being together with the body of God's people is important. Neglecting to join with other believers has spiritual ramifications. The importance of being together. Secondly, this framework of the tabernacle speaks to us of our dependence on Christ as the foundation of our salvation. Our dependence on Christ as the foundation of our salvation. The way these boards were able to remain in the vertical position was that at the bottom of each of them, there were two tenons which fit securely into two corresponding sockets fixed on the ground. This arrangement firmly anchored the boards, enabling them to stand in the upright position. Verse 19 tells us that the sockets into which each of the boards was fixed were made of silver. Verse 19, you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, two sockets under each of the boards for its two tenons. Silver in the Bible is a material that is connected with the cost of redemption. In the Old Testament, both the shekel and the half shekel were typically made of silver. Silver shekels were widely used as a form of currency and as a standard for weight and for value. In Exodus chapter 30 and verses 13 to 16, each Israelite was required to give a half shekel of silver as a ransom or atonement offering. That was where the silver came from for making those sockets of the tabernacle. In Numbers chapter 3 and verses 47 to 49, silver was used in the form of shekels as redemption money to redeem the firstborn of Israel. Again, emphasizing silver as a means of ransom and redemption. In the New Testament, 30 pieces of silver was the price paid for Jesus' betrayal. That silver became a tragic price of his sacrifice, linking silver to the cost of redemption. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19, Peter says to the pilgrims of the dispersion, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. There Peter draws a contrast between silver and gold as corruptible things and the precious blood of Christ. Although silver served as a symbol of ransom or redemption in the Old Testament, Peter shows that Christ's sacrifice is the ultimate incorruptible means of redemption, far surpassing the symbolic offerings of silver or gold. So these silver sockets, with the boards of the tabernacle anchored in them, point to Christ's redemption applied to God's people, enabling them to stand. Christ's redemption is the foundation of their salvation. And just as there were sockets for every single one of those boards, so Christ has provided redemption for every single one of his people. Just as the boards of the tabernacle were dependent on the silver sockets to enable them to stand upright, we are dependent on Christ and his work of redemption to be able to stand upright in the presence of God. So here's a challenge for anyone not trusting in Christ, not trusting in his work of redemption. How will you stand before God? You won't be able to stand without Christ as your anchor, without Christ as the foundation of your salvation, and you must without delay put your trust in him and in the power of his shed blood on the cross. If you're going to be able to stand and be considered righteous by God in the end. So as we think about how the boards of this framework were attached to silver sockets, this is what we are reminded of: our dependence on Christ as the foundation of our salvation. Well, then thirdly, this framework of the tabernacle also speaks to us of our unity and oneness in purpose. It speaks to us, the boards speak to us of our unity and oneness in purpose. The boards in their sockets were very precisely lined up with one another. And then these boards, they were joined together by bars inserted through rings on the boards. There was a set of two bars on the lower part of the boards and a set of two bars on the upper part of the boards. These bars were not fixed to the boards, which means they allowed for a certain degree of flexibility. At the same time, they did stabilize the boards, making them into a unified structure. And then, in addition to these two sets of bars on the upper and lower parts of the boards, there was a bar that ran right through the middle of each board on each long side of the tabernacle, and then another bar that ran through the middle of the boards, forming the end of the tabernacle. These central bars most likely were embedded in a way that held the boards tightly in position, serving the purpose of uniting the boards to one another and ensuring they were perfectly aligned with one another. They strengthened the whole framework, holding it firmly in place. It's not difficult to see how this imagery applies to God's people. The boards of the tabernacle, we've seen individually represent God's people or Christ's disciples. For you who are in Christ, you together with your brothers and sisters in Christ represent the body of Christ. The unity of the boards points to your unity as the body of Christ, connected and aligned in purpose. The middle bar that penetrates through every board points to the Holy Spirit, who has penetrated and has enlightened your soul and is dwelling within you. The Holy Spirit binds you together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and strengthens the faith of all as one body. And then also we see in God's instructions for constructing this framework of the tabernacle and the bars of the tabernacle, his concern for order and precision. The last verse we read, verse 30, God adds the statement, and you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern in which you were shown on the mountain. The tabernacle was to be constructed, this framework in all its detail, was to be constructed exactly as God had instructed. God left no room for Moses or anyone else to cut corners out of convenience. The Israelites couldn't leave that middle bar out and say, "We don't really need that part." They had to construct it as God had given the instructions. The careful design of the tabernacle's framework reminds us that God has a specific purpose for each of us in his spiritual dwelling, the church. Believer, God has positioned you and has gifted you in his church to contribute to his holy plan. The main function of a board in the tabernacle may not have seemed very impressive. All the board did was lend support to other boards. It also acted as a support for the curtains which were laid over the boards. And so many of God's people feel they are not very impressive. You might say, well, I'm not very gifted in anything. But God says to so many, all I am asking you to do is give support. Just give support. Support the cause of Christ. Support the work of the church. Be present with the rest of God's people. Be connected to them in spirit and in truth. Pray for them and pray with them. God says, that's my calling to you as a proverbial board of the tabernacle. Are you doing that? Or is your support greatly lacking? Are there ways you could be supporting the body of Christ and you're not supporting the body of Christ in those ways? The more support you give, the more united you are to others in the church, and the stronger the church is, and God is, the more glorified. So the boards of the tabernacle, we have seen, speak to us of the importance of God's people being together. They speak to us of our dependence on Christ as the foundation of our salvation. They speak to us of our unity and our oneness in purpose. And then fourthly, the boarded framework of the tabernacle speaks to us of the believer's holiness and separation from the world. The believer's holiness and separation from the world. What do you see when you think of the boards of the tabernacle? The boards were cut from acacia wood. Acacia wood was known for its natural colour, which is generally a light golden brown with darker brown streaks. Is that how you picture the boards in your mind as we've been thinking about them? But that's not how they appeared. Verse 29, you shall overlay the boards with gold. Make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. This whole framework of the tabernacle was overlaid with gold. You couldn't see any wood because of the gold. Its natural color wasn't visible. Wood in the Bible, we've seen before, sometimes symbolizes fallen humanity, imperfection, and mortality, often reflecting life's trials and tribulations. Gold symbolizes divinity and purity. The boards of the tabernacle representing God's people on their own are fallen, imperfect, mortal creatures. But those same boards, when overlaid with gold, represent a great transformation of God's people. Although fallen and sinful, they have a divine influence upon them and in them, since God dwells in them by His Spirit. The Spirit performing His sanctifying work within them makes them pure and holy. Gold, we also know, is precious. And those who are in Christ are precious to God. Fallen humanity without the Holy Spirit and without Christ remains fallen humanity, fallen in sin. But when God clothes fallen humanity and transforms that humanity, that humanity is precious to God. That humanity has a divine influence upon it. So the framework of the tabernacle, overlaid with gold, speaks to us of the holiness of God's people and their separation from the world. To sum up all we've thought about, The framework of the tabernacle provides a beautiful picture of how the church of Christ should function, with each member strengthening and supporting the other. As the members rest on the foundation which is Christ, their Redeemer. This is what this framework of the tabernacle is communicating. God's people, united in purpose and empowered by the Spirit, with God in their midst and separated from the world. To anyone who doesn't profess faith in Christ, you're like a piece of wood in this world that hasn't been separated, hasn't been cut to shape for the tabernacle. If you're to know the great blessings of being a part of God's church and become, you must yield your life to God and to Christ and become an intrinsic part of His church by confessing your sins to God and receiving Christ as your Savior. And then you too will receive the spiritual gifts from God that He gives. You'll be united to others as a member of Christ's church. You'll be empowered to support Christ's church. You'll be sanctified by the Spirit, and you'll be precious in God's eyes. Your citizenship, and your destiny will be heaven. These are some of the valuable lessons from the framework, and very especially from the boards of the tabernacle. Amen. In coming to the close of our worship service, let us once again sing praise to God, and we sing from Psalm number 27. Psalm number 27, and it stanzas 4 to 8 on page 49 that we sing. The tune is French, number 88. David, in stanza 4 of this psalm, emphasizes the beauty and the sacredness of God's dwelling place, which in David's day was the tabernacle, and of which the tabernacle's framework formed a part. He says in stanza 4, "One thing I of the Lord have asked and will seek to obtain, that all days of my life I in the Lord's house may remain." In stanza 8, David speaks of his intention to offer up a sacrifice within God's tent, that is, within his tabernacle. And the subsequent lines indicate that the sacrifice David was speaking of was spiritual and figurative, a sacrifice of worship and praise. He says, "Within his tent, with shouts of joy, I'll offer sacrifice, and I'll make music to the Lord, as there I sing his praise." Psalm number 27, stanzas 4 to 8. Let us praise God.
One thing I of the Lord have asked and will seek to
and
us pray. Lord, our God, we thank you for these few lessons you've taught us from your word concerning the framework of the tabernacle, the boards, the rings, the bars, the tenons, and the foundation, Lord God, of those boards. And we pray, dear Father, that you'll help us to take these truths to heart. Help us to be as one and united, just as those boards were, making a contribution to the well-being of the Church of Christ, using our gifts for your glory, being single-minded in purpose, and may Christ receive the honour and the glory. And Lord, may you be pleased to add to your number. May you be pleased to build your church here and even throughout our land. And we pray, O Lord, that your people living as those who are separate from the world, yet in the world, will know your power in the evil day. And now receive the blessing. May the love of God the Father and the fellowship of Christ Jesus his Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, be the portion of you all, both now and forevermore. Amen.